You're listening to a podcast service of Ecclesia Baptist Church in Fairview, North Carolina. You can visit us on the web at www.ecclesiabaptist.org.
I was trying to figure out where to go this week, and it just seemed that this next passage, as I was going to stop at the end and just do Ephesians 4, but it seemed like this next passage was speaking to me this week, so I was like, well, maybe we need to keep going at least one more week through this letter of Ephesians. As I was researching, I read somewhere that some people believe that the book of Ephesians might be a baptism sermon. It might have been first created as a sermon for those that had just become baptized, were coming into the community of faith, and that this was kind of the message for those new believers, those new members of the body. And it's as if the writer of Ephesians is saying to them, okay, now that you are baptized, now that you're a part of this community, we need you to know a couple things. One, we need you to know who you are. We need you to know about your identity in Christ. And number two, we need you to know this is how you live now that you are in Christ. Essentially, he's saying you are saved by grace, you are adopted, you've received an inheritance, you are powerful because you have the Holy Spirit working in you, you are unified, you are called to be ministers. This is who you are if you are baptized. And then, therefore, as we've said the last few weeks, get moving. Don't stand still. Get together. Do it together. Get equipped. Discern what your gifts are and use them for the building up of the body. And as we said last week, grow up. Don't depend on others, you know, to always being the one to feed you. Don't depend on others for your spiritual growth. You take responsibility for that. And grow up into maturity. And then today, I think this letter to the church at Ephesus is telling us to also lighten up. Lighten up. Now, a seminary professor once told me, it's bad enough to be understood. You definitely don't want to be misunderstood. So, let me be clear what I mean by, when I say lighten up, I don't mean that what he's saying is, now that you're a part of the body, now that you've been saved by grace, now that you've been adopted, now, therefore, just put your feet up. Take it easy. You know, lighten up. Not a big deal. Don't be so intense. That's not what I mean. That's not what he's saying. What I mean by lighten up is we are called to be children of light. Children of the light. In fact, this is one of those metaphors that the book of Ephesians is talking to us about. What does it mean to be the people of God? Well, it means that, you know, he says you're part of the family. You're a child of God. You're part of the body of Christ. You're people of the resurrection. Not just resurrection in the future, one day, you know, when Christ returns and all will be resurrected. Yes, that's one, but resurrection now. The power of Christ's resurrection is flowing through us now. And that we are called to be a people of light. Now, this theme of light comes up over and over again in Scripture, especially in John's writings. It's one of those things that the Apostle John seems to really key in on this light-dark thing. And so, in John, 1 John, the letter of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 5 through 8 says, "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin." 1 John 1. Now, in John chapter 1, the Gospel of John, still written by the same author, he says this, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God." Skip down a few verses. "In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." Talking about Jesus. In him, in the beginning, he was with, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. Word was with God. Word was God." That being Jesus. And he was the light of the world that had come from the Father. Then in the book of Revelation, also written by John, continue the revelation of John, talks about where David was talking about the direction. If we see where this whole thing is headed, we get to the end in Revelation 21, and it gets this picture of the new Jerusalem, the new heaven and the new earth. And it says, describing the new Jerusalem in Revelation 21, says, The city has no need of sun or moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and its lamp is the Lamb. By its light will the nations walk, and the kings of the earth will bring their glory into it. And its nations will never be shut by day, and there will be no night there. This is where we're headed, the place where there is no need for sun or moon or anything to lighten, because the glory of God will be our light and will illumine everything. So we get this picture again in John's gospel of this light over darkness. And Jesus, as I told the kids, even said to the disciples in the Sermon on the Mount, "You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." So if this is the goal, if this is what's put out there as the destination that we should be headed for, we need to be clear about what is the temptation. What does the darkness look like? What does it look like to be caught in darkness? So I want to just suggest a few things this morning for us to think about. One of the things that I believe that the letter to the Ephesians is wanting to point out is to say, avoid the darkness of sin. This is the kind of well-duh answer. The darkness of sin, though. It's amazing how we can go through life and we let things hide in the background unnoticed or unchecked. It's amazing how easy it is to become desensitized. I think as Brian said, you know, or somebody said over here, desensitized to sin. That becomes normal for us. That we think, oh, well, this is just the way things are. And we just kind of ignore those things that are shoved back in the corner. And the reality is those sins that hide in the corner tend to eat away at us from the inside out when they go unchecked. They tend to like just nibble away at our hearts and our souls. And we don't even notice it oftentimes. This is why the scripture says to us, confess your sins. Get them out in the open. Be transparent about them. Shine the light on them. This week I had one of those kind of experiences where there'd just been this, in the busyness of transitioning from, you know, to new job and new things going on, and one of those old habits, one of those old sins that was still kind of lurking in the shadows was there, and I hadn't really paid attention to it, and it kind of reared its head this week and caught me unaware. That happens to us all if we're not careful, if we're not constantly being vigilant about saying, shine the light around. Don't let those dark corners sneak up on us. But not just the darkness of sin, there's other darknesses that threaten us as well. How about the darkness of ignorance? How about the darkness of ignorance? There are times that we're just like, I don't really want to read the Bible. I don't really want to pray. I really don't want to focus on growing and learning and becoming more. I'm fine just to kind of sit where I've always sat, to do what I've always done, to read the same things I've always read, and to just kind of try to live off the nourishment that I had received some time back. And we get stuck. And there's that darkness of ignorance where we're not growing in our faith. We're not understanding more about the Lord. We're not growing closer to God. We're not opening up new truths in Scripture that we're seeing again for the first time. The reality is we're, as organisms, as humans, as spiritual beings, we're either growing or we're dying. One or the other. There's not much option in between. So are we growing? Are we allowing the truth of God's word to dispel the ignorance of who God is and the ignorance that's in our heart? And what about like the darkness of prejudice? It's connected to the darkness of ignorance. But how often have we already made up our minds about someone or something long before we ever got to know them? Long before we ever had that chance to sit down and say, tell me your story. How often do we want to just put a label on somebody or put them in a box before we've ever had that conversation. Because it's so much easier to kind of to go through life and to have this us versus them. And if you're not part of us, then you're one of them. And it's very easy to kind of segment ourselves and to figure out who's in and who's out and who's with us and who's against us. But we often make those decisions before we even know the person that we're talking about. This is darkness. This is the darkness of which we're being called out of. What about the darkness of bitterness? I heard it said one time that bitterness towards somebody else is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. Right? You've heard this? Yeah. That when we drink in from the cup of bitterness, it poisons us. It poisons our hearts. It poisons our souls. These grudges or these bitterness. This is why the book of Ephesians tells us, shine a light on that. This light should lead to healing and reconciliation. That was that 1 John passage, right? If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. When we shine a light on that bitterness, when we shine a light on those grudges, it draws us together as one another, to one another, draws us together as the body of Christ, as the people of God. It brings healing and reconciliation. What about the darkness of despair? Anybody who's ever walked through the shadow of depression and despair knows that this is a darkness that's hard to escape. And I'm not trying to suggest that there's just easy answers or quick fixes. I had a really unfortunate experience some years back when I was driving by a church. And I'm kind of skeptical about those one-sentence sermons on the sign. So anytime everybody's like, we need to get a church sign that we can put up a little one. And I'm like, One of the examples I saw was I drove by this church and they had a sign on the front that said, Jesus is my Prozac. And I was like, ouch. I said, what about those people? And I mentioned this to a friend of mine whose son was going through some clinical depression. And she got angry. She got really angry. And she said, are you trying to tell me that because my son has no faith, he has mental illness? And so she actually called the church and said, I just want you to know, this is really offensive, you know? And I'm not trying to say, that's not what I'm saying, is this sense of, well, if we just have faith in Jesus, all that stuff will go away. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is that the despair of depression is a darkness. And God is calling us to name that and to expose it, to call it what it is and to come out of the shadows. Sometimes that means we've got to seek illness and confront the illness head on. Seek professionals to help us deal with those illnesses. Whatever way it presents itself. And it means to us as a body, when we have people in our community that are struggling, that we support them and we're there for them. And we constantly are reaching out to encourage and we're constantly there to say, you know, to be the hands and feet of Christ, to be the presence, to shine a light on it, not to ignore it, but to say, we love you and we're here for you and we're walking with you. And then maybe one more darkness, the darkness of fear. Darkness of fear. Maybe you can identify with this experience. You've got this sin, you've got this struggle, you've got something going on in your life that you've kept hidden away for a long time. And you don't want anybody to know about it because you're embarrassed about it and you're ashamed about it. And you knew that if anybody found out about this thing, that there's no way they could still love me. There's just no way that you could ever look at me the same. And you kind of have these conversations and people come up to you and they'll say, oh, you're so great. We love what you're doing. You have so many gifts. And in the back of your mind, there's a little voice that says, yeah, but if you only knew about this thing, then you wouldn't really say that about me. If you only knew about this, then you wouldn't believe that about me. So we hide it away in the dark corner and we live in fear that one day I might get discovered. I might get outed. One day they're going to figure out that I'm a fraud and I really have no idea what I'm doing and I'm not as good as everybody thinks I am. That's not from God. That is not God's voice. That is shame. And shame doesn't come from the Father. Shame comes from the enemy. because there's a level of there's one element of conviction that comes from God. Conviction draws us back to the Father and says, God, I've messed up and I want to be right with you. Shame says, you are a screw up. You are a failure. Don't even speak up because you're not worth being listened to. That is the kind of darkness that, we are being called out of. That darkness of fear. Or there's another kind of fear that sometimes attacks us, and it's the fear of the dangers in our world. And we flip on the news and we see things, stories about terrorism and war and crime and hate and violence and disease and Ebola and ISIS and, you know, all of these different things that are going on in the news right now, and could go on and on. And many of us, we live in this bondage of fear that it's like, oh, it's really bad out there. And so we crouch down and we tremble in this shadow, and we're unable to step out in confidence and in action in our world because we fear for ourselves and we fear for our children and we fear for our future and we fear the unknown. This is not God's plan for us. Not to live in fear, but to shine the light of truth on our darkness. Sin, ignorance, prejudice, bitterness, despair, fear. Surely this is not an exhaustive list, but it at least gets us started thinking that God is calling us out of this darkness and into the light. Now, for those who have lived in darkness for a long time, that first bright, shining light can be painful. It can hurt. It can be uncomfortable. But it's healing. It's healing, ultimately. The light that illumines those things that we've tried to hide. The light that cleanses and reveals those things we've ignored. The light that brings us together, together with God and together with one another. The light that refuses to allow us to keep those skeletons in the closet. If you've ever gone or seen... hesitate to even bring this up because everybody's going to get the willies. A house that's infested with cockroaches. Nighttime, all these little things crawling around. You come in, you flip the light on, and it goes, and you're like, ugh. Right? Adam knows all about this. He's like, oh, yeah.
If you have any problems with that, give me a
call. In the same way that all those cockroaches flee for cover, when the light comes on, if we would have the courage and dare to step into the light of Christ, to allow the light of Christ's love to expose the sin and the ignorance and the prejudice and the bitterness and the despair and the fear, we may find that those things have no choice but to flee from our lives, to flee, go running for cover, because they can't handle the light of Christ's love and Christ's goodness. They can't survive the light of His holiness and His righteousness and His forgiveness. Because Christ is the light of the world, and He's come not only to expose the darkness, but to heal the darkness and to cleanse the darkness and to forgive the darkness, to end the darkness once and for all. Therefore, let us hear those words our passage closes with, as an invitation to us today. Awake, O sleeper. Awake. Rise from the dead. Christ will shine on you. Let's pray. O Christ, we do pray for your light to shine on our hearts, to reveal to us those places that we've hidden away, those dark corners of our souls, Lord, where we hide away those things that we don't want anybody else to know about. Those things we're ashamed of. Those things we're fearful of. Those things that only we know about. Lord, I pray that you'd give us the courage to shine the light of your truth on them. To reveal to us our sin. To reveal to us our ignorance. To reveal to us our prejudice and our bitterness and our despair. To reveal to us the fears that plague us. And help us to put them in the light of your truth, the light of your love, the light of your forgiveness, the light of your holiness and your righteousness. Let the purity of and the fire of your passion for us burn away all those things that are so much less than you and are not worthy of you, that are so much less than your plans for our lives. Give us the courage to live as children of light. Lord, we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.